Nobody told me there'd be days like these. John Lennon, 25 years on.
Yoko was having an art show in London at a gallery called Indica Gallery, and I heard this was going to be a happening, so I went down the night before the opening. And the first thing that was in the gallery, as you went in, there was a white stepladder and a painting on the ceiling and a spyglass hanging down. I walked up this ladder, and I picked up a spyglass, the balance in there, and there was some teeny little writing, it just said yes. It had said no, or, you know,
Something
nasty, like, you know, rip off or whatever. I would have left the gallery that, because it was positive, it said yes. I thought, okay, it's the first show I've been to that said something, you know, warm to me. So then I decided to see the rest of the show, and that's when we met.
If you read any of his poems and any of the kind of the plays, what he wrote, they were a bit obscure, a bit, I suppose we'd call them arty-farty, and so was she. So they probably were the only two people that understood each other, where the rest of them thought, you know, what a strange couple. I don't know what they're talking about, but it's John Lennon, so it must be good. In reality, they probably didn't really understand. They didn't get it.
I never really understood it, because she and John were just wanted to sort of be off doing their own thing together, and you felt intrusive to kind of to get in on to even suggest getting in on that. So you thought, well, I mean, they're just in love. I mean, what do they need with us? What do they need with me or whatever?
By which nefarious means? Leaping in cars, sending letters to India, look at this cloud, all the rest of that stuff that John fell for. He did fall for Yoko, and there's no disputing that. And we all accept that. And she was for John. The bossy woman he was used to, somebody organising his life, leaving him to get on with daydreaming or creating or what he wanted to do. You know, he wasn't buckled and strapped into the relationship. He leapt in, and everybody accepts that. We just all accept that.
think people are a bit cooler in New York. And I've been here 3 years, and people sort of will wave or something, or a taxi driver will say, you know, are you still here?
I couldn't see John ever coming back to live in Liverpool. But would his life have been London, Paris? I think he would have gone to Paris.
One of my biggest kicks is just going out to eat or going to the movies, you know, and doing things I couldn't do when I was, you know, in the middle of the Beatles stuff. And I really get off on that. And occasionally people ask for autograph or just want to shake hands is the coolest one that happens, which is cool with me. And I'm just known enough to keep my ego floating, but unknown enough to get around.
Any entertainer or artist who's gone out of Liverpool, you have to understand that yes, Liverpool's where it happened. It was created here, and the explosion happened here. But if you really want to get onto the global platform, you've at least got to go to London, and you've got to go to America if you want to spread the word. So I think probably people did resent it for a while. But then if you think about it, that's a big audience out there, and if you want to play to them, you've got to go out there and spend some time with them. But he, ironically, and this is, I think, the painful thing for a lot of people, is he was coming home, and we knew he was coming home.
He was one of us. He has been a New Yorker for so many years now, and you'd see him walking on the streets and stuff, you know, and you'd wave and say, "Hi, John." And I've heard so many stories from cab drivers who picked him up and who refused to let him pay, you know, just because they said, "Hey, thank you for all that music. Thank you for all those years." And what a sad and terrible thing that he has to meet his end in this violent, damnable fashion.
I make a lot of music, and that's what mainly I do. I'm either making music, watching TV, or listening to the radio. I think there's certainly room for an odd Lennon or two here.
I would hope that John would still be making music, and I would not have been surprised if at some moment in time there would have been some sort of Beatle reunion, since just about every other band has in some way, shape, or form come back together. And I don't know that they would have done live performance, because when you think about it, they stopped performing live in 1966. But I would imagine that at some point they would have put any differences aside, and one could only dream of what it would have been like for the four of them to get back together in the studio.
If John Lennon was alive now, I probably reckon he would be doing, if you're aware of people like Robert Plant or Eric Clapton, he would have been playing the music he wanted to play, but he probably would have had a really hot band of young musicians with him. And I think his music would still have been relevant today. He would not have seen, with all due respect to Paul McCartney, I don't think he'd have been doing John Lennon's Greatest Hits tour.
It's all been written now, so, you know, you can't write a new pop song. And the Beatles hugely influence a lot of the bands around today, and even the bands that say they weren't influenced, you can hear it, even if they don't know they're influenced by the Beatles as well.
When I heard White Stripe, they were just, when we first heard them, exceptional bands, the punk stuff, I mean, outrageous stuff. You see, John was a punk rocker, through and through. So he did well with Imagine, didn't he? For a punk rocker. White Stripe, there they are.
Beatles songs are still being covered by contemporary artists, and even the original versions, I think, still stand up to a modern day audience. I know of teenagers that cite the Beatles as their favourite artists, and I think that's down to the songs. And then if they get into the songs, they're going to get into finding out more about the Beatles, and they're going to want to know about John Lennon and what happened to him, where he came from, what was his life like.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown, although our love is still special. Let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone. Like
I was visualizing all the people of my age group. I'm singing to them. I'm saying, here I am now. How are you? How's your relationship going? Did you get through it all? Wasn't the 70s a drag, you know? Here we are. Well, let's try and make the 80s good, you know?
John Lennon has lived in New York for several years. Recently, he'd returned to the pop charts with a song called Just Like Starting Over. And last week's Variety, the show business trade paper, had him at number 10 in the list of America's top 40 tunes.
He'd come back. He'd got the Double Fantasy album. He was talking to the press. He'd done a few interviews, TV and radio interviews. We understand he was coming back to Liverpool. I had heard at the time that he was going to allegedly hire some grand boat, maybe even the QE2. There was all kinds of stories. He was going to sail up the Mersey with Yoko, big return to Liverpool, and we would have been talking to him. We would have had an interview with him at that time. He was, you know, back talking to the press and doing all the things you do when you got a new album out.
My aunt definitely, over the water, spoke to him on her birthday in 1980, which is November the 17th. He rang her, happy birthday, Nanny, and I'm coming home soon. And we were all waiting.
He was making a comeback. There could have been so much more. And he was caught off in his prime. And for people like me, who were just getting into it at that time, who aren't old enough to be there first time round, it was particularly tragic.
He'd gone through a bad phase in his life, hadn't he, where he went off the rails and he went out of touch for a few years. And then it's like he'd got it back together and he was content in his life. And we don't know what would have been produced after that, because he was taken away.
Yeah. chance. Remember love. The only hope for any of us is peace. Violence begets violence. If you want to get peace, you can get it as soon as you like if we all pull together.
And that was like, we'd never heard anything like that before. So anti-establishment in those days, you know, quite a thing to say. Now, of course, you'd be very, very tame, but that kind of thing, just, you know, he was on the edge, and that's why he'll be remembered.
The most poignant, outstanding thing that John ever said was in his record, life's what you're living while you're planning your life. And I say to all of you, if there's someone you need to see, go, just go, stand right in the way until you've seen them. If you have something to say, say it. If you have something to do, do it.
He was the non-conformist one of the four. He was the edgy one. He was the one that said the things that you'd like to have said, but you never had the nerve to say.
He was not just another star. He was not just another rock star or movie star or politician or whoever. John Lennon, the enormous amount of grief that is being expressed tonight by people, certainly picking up the telephone and listening to phone calls here at the station is incredible. A man was somebody that who touched the hearts and minds of us all as a Beatle, still as a Beatle, and as John Lennon, as he fought so hard to gain his identity as John Lennon.
John's spirit and his songs, music, they communicate, and it's good for the people.
I'm grateful for the time that we did have together. I'm sorry he didn't know more about how he ended up with Mimi, but I will do that for him, and love him like you do.
You're all geniuses, you're all beautiful. You don't need anybody to tell you who you are or what you are. You are what you are. Get out there and get peace. Think peace, live peace, and breathe peace, and you'll get it as soon as you like, okay? Okay? Okay?
Okay? Yesterday, I was the dream weaver, but now I'm reborn. I was the walrus, but now I'm John. And so, dear friends, you just have to carry on. The dream is over. This is karma's gonna get you, gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together, pretty soon you're gonna be dead.
Gonna get you.